Our Letters from Camp Training Camp podcast is brought to you by Bella Construction, a five-star home improvement contractor proudly serving the Pittsburgh area for over 20 years. Visit mybellaroof.com and request a quote today. This is another Training Camp podcast brought to you by Bella Construction. Tim Benz here with you on the Breakfast with Benz podcast. Actually back in Pittsburgh today after a run at St. Vincent College at training camp in Latrobe for the Steelers. And as always, Bella Construction, we're very happy to have him on board for this training camp as we're back out in Westmoreland County, a five-star home improvement contractor proudly serving the Pittsburgh area for over 20 years. Visit mybellaroof.com and request a quote today. Kind of going off the beaten path today, and I'm very happy to bring onto the podcast a longtime broadcast partner at iHeartRadio from ESPN Pittsburgh, also on WDVE. You can hear him on the broadcasts on 102.5 WDVE, the pregame show as well. It is Craig Wolfley. Check him out at Steelers.com too. Wolf, thanks a lot for joining me today. Good to have you on, my man.
I love being on with Breakfast with Benz. I'll have some, buckwheat pancakes, some eggs sunny side up, and don't forget the bacon.
Well, we've talked about this before, but you love doing the podcast because last time I checked, breakfast is one of your three favorite meals of the day, right?
Right, you are, sir.
Are you getting buckwheat pancakes at the newly laid out St. Vincent College eating facility? I'm kind of liking the new digs. What do you think?
I like it. You know, you don't expend the energy walking down the stairs, nor do you have to huff and puff coming up the stairs after you've eaten a sumptuous meal right there on the hallowed grounds of St. Vincent.
See, that's what I would think, Wolf, for me, from my point of view. I'm still trying to get a few steps in. It's like an automatic stairmaster that we used to have going up that steep staircase. Now you don't have that anymore. I'm not burning off the calories when I take the extra brownie on the way out or something.
Exactly so, but that's why I love the buffet style of service, because that's how I get my cardio in.
Craig Wolfley with us, and the reason I wanted to have Wolf on was, like I said, we're kind of going off the beaten path of down and dirty training camp conversation, but especially when it comes to the offensive line, I'll throw some questions at Wolf later on in the conversation, but I wanted to get Wolf on because he played with Mike Webster, was a teammate of Mike Webster, a friend of Mike Webster's. And ESPN.com is doing their GOAT list, the greatest of all time list, player by player, position by position. Who's the best player at every position in NFL history? And Wolf, your former teammate Mike Webster, got the nod at center. And I imagine you would think that's deservedly so.
There's no question about it, Tim. In my mind, having lined up next to Mike for over eight seasons, there was just so many things that you could talk about, whether it was his great strength, his great ability to, come off the ball and play after play after play, do the assignments. He didn't bust on blown assignments. I remember after my first year of starting, I had three mental errors the whole season long, 16 games. And I remember my offensive line coach saying to me at the end of the year, Mike Webster hasn't had a mental error in three seasons, so don't pat yourself on the back. I can live with one, but no more than one mental error per season. I'm like, oh, wow, it's a little rough here when you got to compare yourself to Mike Webster.
Going through the season last year and seeing how Kendrick Green was adapting to center, it kind of highlighted the nuances of what that position like is versus playing guard. You play guard. How often, if at all, Wolf, did you play center? And do you deem it to be more difficult? Some of the technical things that Webster honed to the point that he could be considered the greatest of all time.
There's no question that the center, in my mind, was harder simply because you are responsible for getting that ball in that quarterback's hands and do so at the appropriate time. Not a second before, not a second late. You got to be right on. Plus, you are also right there at the nerve center. You're directing traffic, the front side blocking schemes, the backside blocking schemes. And then, of course, also when you've got to set the pass protection for the quarterback. So there's a lot of extracurricular duties that are involved in the center, and then to do that with somebody maybe 3 1/4, 350 pounds sitting on your nose waiting to blast you as soon as you sneeze, That makes life even more enticing down in the trenches. But Mike excelled in all those things. His great strength, he could literally one-on-one and take a guy and drive him back and slam him. Or whether or not it was in the pass protection, he was so good at moving in front and then being able to get a guy when he was off balance, throwing him to the ground. But whatever it was, Mike was a great leader, not by words, but by example. And that's what I thought one of his greatest attributes was.
I'm sure we're going to get into splitting hairs here as it relates to trying to figure out who's better between him and Jim Otto and Chuck Bednarik, who the guys were right behind him, Dwight Stevenson, Dermonti Dawson, another Steeler who got quite a few votes as well in this poll that they did for ESPN.com. But, you know, when I think of Dermonti Dawson, at least I can remember seeing Dermonti play a little bit more, certainly, well, a lot more than I can remember Webster. I remember games from Webster towards the end of his career, Wolf. But I know from everybody who knows the intricacies of playing offensive line, what stood out more than anything else about Dermonti was his ability to pull and lead, the mobility from the center position, and then jump out there like he's a guard. Everybody talks about that all the time above everything else with Dermonti Dawson. Of those attributes that you just listed for Webster, is it the strength that stands out for you, or is there one specific thing above all the other good things that he did well that you remember the most?
I can't parcel Mike into that many little things. It's really the combination of all those things coming together, because his great strength, yes, but his conditioning was also ridiculous. I mean, literally, he would lead the way in the 350s, the 350-yard runs that we had to run around the outside of the football field after the second practice of the day, and do five of those and do it in 60 to 65 seconds. And to do that with only 90 seconds rest, and to do five of them after the 2.5 hours of just going at it in full pads, and he would lead the way. And that was after you'd see him in the morning. He'd be in there squatting with 405 on his back for five sets of five, or 455 for five sets of five with his butt to the ground. You know, I mean, he was just so strong and yet conditioned and durable. And what you really admired, though, was the fact that he was just one of those great leaders who led by example. He didn't lead by screaming at guys or anything like that. He was just one of those guys that went out, buttoned it down, and did his job. And to think of his durability and his ability, week in and week out, Tim, he would not grade out below a 92 or 93%. Anything out of the 90s was basically unheard of for Mike. Such was his ability to constantly grade out high in the scoring of the films.
Craig Wolfley with us. So how did he manage to avoid injury going through that much contact in such a physical sport at what you said, the nerve center of the offensive line there? And maybe I should rephrase that. How much injury did he play through to make it look like he avoided injury? Maybe that's the better way for me to phrase it.
Yeah, you have to understand it was a different era. You know, back in my day, you basically told the coaches you couldn't go. All right. Nowadays, it's the training staff and the coaches that tell you can't go. All right. They will withhold. But back in the 80s and 90s, it was all about, you knew, as you became a starter, it was really down to you saying, I can't go this week. All right. So there was a difference. So Mike had tremendous willpower. I remember when he dislocated his elbow and he was only out of 3 weeks, a month. Are you kidding me? You know, I mean, the fact that he had 150 straight starts tells you again about his tremendous strength, his durability, his ability to play through pain, and his ability just to rally the troops around him, because he was just a tremendous leader as well as a great individual player.
How about Dermonti, since I brought him up? What do you remember most about Dermonti?
His explosivity, man. Oh, you know, some of the things, you know, sometimes you can tell. You, in the NFL, even though we're all at a high level, an upper echelon of playing, there are just some people that God gave more genetics to than others. I look at Dermonti, and I must have been behind the door when God was handing out some of those genes. But Dermonti got a great handful. He was such a great player, a great teammate. He was just one of those guys, you know, he had to catch on to directing traffic more. But I'll say this also, and this is kind of pointing out about Kendrick Green. I'm getting off a little beaten path there. Remember that Dermonti didn't take a snap at center his entire rookie year. Didn't play that. Started at guard, you know, but that's why I say, you know, center is something you got to, it takes a while to develop those great skills and that reflexive ability in a new position where you got to balance both sides rather than just one side, where you have to be able to be a hair's breadth ahead of the snap rather than behind the snap, where you've got to be able to mentally understand what the blocking schemes are on the at the point of attack as well as on the backside, what's sealing it, and to make sure everybody's on the same time. And at the same time, you got to go set the huddle, because if you're scrapping too much in between plays, you're getting the huddle set late. So there's just a lot of things that go on at the center position.
So I was looking through the defensive awards. Those came out right before I called you, Wolf. The thing with Mike Webster came out yesterday. And I'm looking at the defensive side, and there isn't a Steeler, even with the great teams from the Steel Curtain of the 70s, there isn't a Steeler that won on the defensive side for their specific position. There are quite a few who either finished, you know, in the top three or got a couple votes, and none really surprising. Polamalu got two at safety. Blunt got one at corner. Jack Lambert was in at inside linebacker. Who else am I forgetting about? Oh, well, Joe Green came in second to Aaron Donald at defensive tackle. I think Joe was the closest of anybody to actually win one.
Well, you know what? Those are all great performers. I've often said that, you know, people ask me, well, could Joe Green play today? When you look at, you know, I go, hey, look at Aaron Donald, because he's nothing but Joe Green in today's player. I mean, that's just really how great Joe was back in his time period. You know, the fact of the matter is, you look at all these guys. I mean, I didn't hear you. Did you say Jack Ham?
Because they didn't have Jack Ham. You know what? I think this was – they didn't really delineate between inside, outside.
Oh, okay.
They kind of just did middle linebacker. Or they just – actually, you know what? They just called it linebacker. So, like, for instance, outside linebackers in a 3-4 or defensive ends, they just called them edge. And that boiled it down to basically Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White. Like, those guys were the only ones that got votes, except for, let's see here, one for Bruce Smith and one for J.J. Watt. Those are the only other guys. And then linebacker was all kind of lumped together. And if you separated out edge rusher, that's going to be really hard for linebackers who are in what the Steelers had in the 70s in a 4-3 to really stand out. You know what I mean?
Right. No question about it. Look, Joe Green was the consummate performer. He just, in my mind, was just larger than life. You walk in there and Mel Blunt, I mean, seriously, had 57 interceptions back when they were throwing the ball 25 times a game. Same thing with Donnie Shell. I mean, think what those guys could do given today's offensive, you know, weaponry out there, the 11 personnel and whipping that ball all over the place. How much more these guys could have contributed, and yet they were all physical hitting type secondary performers that you don't see today in today's modern football. So those guys there, I'm surprised. Donnie Shell, my goodness. Tim, I was just sitting there this morning, and I could see right at the goal line on the field, because when I'm up here, it's kind of like the ghosts of training camps past. They whisper to me, you know, over here was that hit, over here was that, you know. And I remember exactly where I was in my rookie year when I pulled out, and Donnie Shell, we were one-on-one at the goal line. He one-hopped me to the feet of Chuck Knoll. I mean, and if you can picture this, Tim, I roll over, look up, and there's Coach Knoll looking down at me. And he said, young man, that's not very impressive. And my first thought, and I'm glad I didn't say it, was, didn't you see that hit? I mean, I just flew.
That was pretty cool. Look how far back I went.
that was Donnie Shell, man. Oh, but yeah, those guys were phenomenal.
Yeah, the only Steeler I skipped over when I was giving you the list of defensive guys was Rod Woodson. And they've got him down for cornerback. But, you know, he had a great second career as a safety, too.
There's no question. I mean, Rod, you know, it's a shame that he got that knee injury. But, you know, it still led to him being able to shine in two different positions. And one of the things you love about it, when you talk to Rod was a student of the game. He was really one of those guys that when you stand and talk to him, it's like talking to somebody who's been hanging around Dick LeBeau for an awful long time. Mm-hmm. Because he really understood the game, and he could really communicate to you the nuances and essences of secondary play. And it was always enjoyable, certainly, and to talk to him and to watch him play, because Rod Woodson was awesome.
Craig Wolfley with us. Wolf, what are you seeing from the offensive line this year so far in camp? What are your observations?
Well, I think right now we're just getting a feel for different line combination. Cole is just trying to get through the, you know, make sure he's getting comfortable with terminology and things that are going on. Kendrick Green and Kevin Dotson were having a little bit of go there. James Daniels is coming along. I think he's the inner three, the inner triangles, I call it, the center and two guards. That is a little more fluid a situation. The tackles, Danny Moore is looking like Danny Moore spent some good time getting stronger in the offseason. Chukwuma Okorafor, I'm telling you what, I think Chukes is an underappreciated offensive tackle. I think this guy is really, you know, I mean, think about it. He's only 24, 25 years old. And I was, you know, there's a lot of people talking about, well, he's got this and that. Well, he's still a young guy finding his man strength. I mean, when you're 24, 25, you're just coming into that strength that you've built up over the years, and it's starting to come out and give you that extra boost as you grow into that man body of yours. And I think that's just something that Chukes is going to grow into, and we're going to see more and better of Chukwuma Okorafor.
It almost sounds like you're feeling a little bit better about the tackles than the three on the inside. That's a little bit different than most people have had a take on. Like, I even heard in your voice there, Wolf, do you think that Daniels maybe got off to a bit of a slow start and is catching on now?
Yeah, I think he's been, you know, it's the way it's going to be. When you go to a new place, the terminology, getting comfortable, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a slow start. I've got confidence that he's going to pick it up and everything else. But at the same time, I mean, one guy that has been steady and I've really enjoyed watching is J.C. Hassenauer. This guy just keeps getting a little bit better and a little bit better each and every time he goes out there, and he cranks it up a little bit more. You know, I think he's one of these guys that is going to be a surprising, you know, a little positive, that he is going to, you know, provide some good backup reps or whatever reps he's going to get. But he is a guy that I can point to and say, I've watched him each and every day. He's come out and he's cranked it up a little bit more and gotten a little bit more efficient in his play.
Wolf, how about the quarterbacks before we go? Based on the guys who aren't there with Mitch Trubisky on the first team, I think that's part of the reason why you've seen some of the inefficiency that people have talked about so far with him behind the first team offense or trying to run the first team offense. Then again, I suppose there has been no Minkah Fitzpatrick. There's no Tyson Alualu. There's no Larry Ogunjobi right now either. So I don't know how much of a curve I should give Trubisky or not with the first team. What do you think?
You know, I really kind of – you play with who you got, you know, and who's missing is, in my mind, right now you can't – it's no consequence. What I see right now is Mason has been leading the way. I mean, he's just been very direct, very forceful, throwing the ball. He's been encouraging. I think Mitch has shown some of that good movement, his ability, that what Matt Canada is going to want to do with him. I think that's – you know, he's shown those positives. I think you know, for Kenny Pickett, it's a situation now where he's just getting comfortable. You know, there's so much pressure on that young man, and I hope he's just able to relax and just withstand the storm. That's part of being a pro, part of being a first-round pick, and part of being a professional Pittsburgh guy first-round pick. That's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of pressure that comes with all three of those. So the fact is, I've been very impressed by Mason yesterday. He lit it up with another 60, 65-yarder, I think it was, to Calvin Austin down the sidelines. Dropped that baby in there like it was nobody's business, and he did it again a few days earlier. So he has been the one that has shown the most, I think. But you can also see in Mitch Trubisky that sort of athleticism and strength of arm and, you know, a little bit of savviness that a veteran has. He doesn't get the, you know, the deer in the lights type of look when the pocket breaks down. He knows where to go with the ball, and he throws on the run very well.
Finally, Wolf, before we go, did you ever know of anybody who staged a de facto hold-in like Deontay Johnson and T.J. Watt last year where you were playing? Did anybody stage a hold-in when you were a Pittsburgh Steeler? And I need to get your thoughts on the Guardian caps on top of the helmets, too.
Okay. The Guardian caps, you know what? I'm all for safety. If they are as good as they say in taking the force reduction down by 20%. I think it's a positive for practice that can reduce the number of thumping hits. That's a good thing. As far as, you know, a hold in, I can only tell you, I think you'd have a Veterans Day off and Chuck's Day, which in our day then was being cut. You know? That's just the way it was.
Yeah, I was just wondering if, you know, what qualified as a hold in was a hamstring injury or a swollen ankle. Was that a hold in back in the day?
Well, let me describe this to you. Only two people that I know of got what I call the Willy Wonka golden ticket out of training camp. Okay. One was the great Larry Brown.
Okay.
Who come off yet another Pro Bowl year, but he had back injuries and knee injuries issues. And so they were trying to take it easy on his body. So he was given pretty much off from training camp. The other was the late, great Tunch Ilkin. And Tunch, I'll never forget when Mr. Rooney told him on the side, it was his last year with the Steelers. But he said, they hadn't negotiated a new contract. And Mr. Rooney said, Tunch, stay home. Don't worry about it. We'll get it. And so I went, his Goomba, because I had just retired. And he was going to play a couple more years. He's sitting at home. He's just jonesing because he's not at training camp. Okay. So he kept going, you got to give me some reps, Craig. You got to put your, I go, I don't want to put the pads on.
That's why I retired.
Pass rush you. Right. We go, this is no lie. True story, Tim. We go to Peterswood Park in Bethel Park. Right.
Uh-huh.
So I get the pads on finally, cause I'm a good friend, a good buddy. On the very first pass rush, I smoked him around the corner. He gets all honked off at me. So on the next pass rush, he slams me. He throws a punch, slams me, and then gores me when I went down, right? So I jump up and smack him one, and we're yelling at each other. And we look around, and there's these older people on the trail, maybe 40 yards away, 30 yards away, that are looking. And they're looking at us like, you know, two idiots from Bruce Springsteen's glory days, you know? Two idiots, old guys.
And in only one case was it true by that point, Craig.
Yeah, it was. It was, really. So that's how it turned out that year. Rather embarrassing, I must say.
Yeah, you know, the Guardian Cap thing, the only thing I think of is I wish Casey Hampton could have played with the Guardian Caps with his dome and that little helmet he had on and then a giant Guardian Cap on top of it. I would have killed to have seen that.
You know, the thing is always amazing is how Casey ever got his head inside anything that was smaller than a bushel basket, you know?
Wolf, thanks so much. I'm glad we did this. I really appreciate it, man. Thanks for the insight, particularly on Mike Webster and everything else, too.
As always, brother, it's been my pleasure.
Craig Wolfley, used to do stuff with him all the time on ESPN Pittsburgh. You can hear him on iHeartRadio Outlets DVE doing Steeler games as well as the pregame show there and throughout the week on SNR and on Steelers.com as well. This is the Breakfast of Bens podcast. And throughout the course of training camp, we are brought to you by MyBellaRoof.com. Go there today and get a quote.